Are y'all ready for the culinary activity?
Yeah!
I know it's some of y'all.
In Fernando Calunga's class, cooking is always the activity of choice, and it's pretty hands-on. The little chefs chop kale and cabbage, saute broccoli and onions, and pour in a savory sauce for a vegetable stir fry homegrown and handmade by 10-year-olds.
Oh yeah, keep going, keep going.
Calunga says when they get their hands dirty, that's when they learn.
A lot of the change and a lot of the growth doesn't necessarily happen when I'm in front of the class teaching about photosynthesis. It happens when I'm next to them chopping, where we're out on the field harvesting, weeding.
Calunga, also known as Farmer Fern to his campers, started working at the teaching farm 5 years ago. And what started out as a volunteering gig turned into a full-time passion of teaching about the significance of food to young people.
A lot of them think food as something just necessary, not necessarily something exciting or something new. And so when you get to open up the world of food, the world of growing food, the world of cooking your own food to students, and sort of seeing that spark in their eye is just incredible.
The 26-year-old has made it his mission to introduce kids to all kinds of fruits and vegetables. Matching with Miss America on a dating app and then marrying her sounds like a movie, but it's reality for Abbott Downs.
Yep, 7-day free trial, match with Miss America. My friends who do online dating all the time were furious with me.
They've been together for 5 years, and now Downs has two kids, a 12-year-old stepson from her wife's previous marriage.
And then we have baby Ella, who's 8 months old.
Downs and baby Ella often come to the Birmingham Botanical Gardens to get some fresh air.
Go see some roses? Go see some roses?
But recently, something has been weighing on her family. A new law in Alabama bans discussions about sexuality and gender identity in K-5 classrooms.
As a gay parent raising children, the part that bothers me is it seems to want to exclude conversation about my family in particular in the classroom.
The law's original sponsors said they wanted to protect young girls from predators by requiring students to use the bathroom that matched the gender on their birth certificates. But on the day they voted, a last-minute change also banned discussions about sexuality and gender identity. Downs says she agrees that kids in K-5 classes shouldn't learn anything explicit in education.
Where I think we depart, though, is this notion that somehow talking about my family with two moms is more sexualized and more adult content than talking about another child's family with a mom and a dad. I feel like a heterosexual family shouldn't just be the default.
Gay families in Alabama.
This fall, the Birmingham Urban League launched its 100 Days of Nonviolence tour in a handful of high schools. During the program in Carver's Auditorium, one of the speakers walked students through an exercise. She asked the students to close their eyes and stand up if the question applies to them. The first: have you lost someone close to you due to violence?
Be eyes closed.
About half of the students stand up, including Jacob, the tuba player from before.
Have you witnessed violence in your home, on the street, at school?
The other half of the students stand up. Then she asks the students if they've ever been a part of violence.
To you, or you don't, nobody sit down, stay standing. You stood, stay standing. Was violence done to you? Stay standing, don't sit. If you're standing, okay, now open your eyes.
By the end, almost all of the students are standing, and they look around, some defiantly, some with awkward glances. Jacob says that moment stuck out to him.
I have had people in my family that have died from gun violence or experienced some type of stress. And to see that it's so many other people that relate to me, that's like people I see every day, and I might not even know that they deal with them things, it's just kind of so real.
Jacob says the program's message is working so far. He's seen fewer fights in the hallway, but it's a band-aid on an endemic problem in the community. Jacob says he and his peers need guidance, and that comes from the adults and community leaders. If you've never heard of korfball, you might be asking,
is that a real sport?
It's a question Carl Jurger gets frequently. He's the president of the United States Korfball Federation.
There was a level of silliness because it does kind of sound like a goofy name. It's like, what the heck is this?
It's spelled K-O-R-F ball, and it means basket in Dutch. A school teacher in the Netherlands created the game, and it's kind of like a mix between basketball and lacrosse. Players pass the ball with their hands, but can't dribble. They score points by tossing the ball into a goal on an 11.5-foot tall post that doesn't have a backboard. Oh, and the Netherlands dominates.
If you're going to be gambling on the World Games, bet on the Netherlands and korfball.
There's been a U.S. Korfball Federation since 1978, but Jurger says it's hard to recruit players.
One of the challenges we have in the United States about korfball is, how do you get people to play a sport that they've never heard of, that they can't really play against, where getting the equipment is hard?
That's why the USKF donated 10 korfball sets to Birmingham City Schools almost 5 years ago, as a way to get more kids interested in korfball.
Hey, let's go, let's go, let's go!
And it worked. The kids love it.
It's fun.
It's exciting. It's exciting.
At Glen Iris Elementary School, PE teacher Sharon Smith encourages kids to play korfball during recess.
You know, like we do soccer, we do a volleyball unit, we do tennis unit. We've just added korfball to that unit as well.
Korfball was designed to be an experience.